Tiger gotta hunt, bird gotta fly, man gotta sit and wonder why. Tiger gotta sleep, bird gotta land, man gotta tell himself he understand. Today on Sci-Fi Idols, let's talk about Kurt Vonnegut, shall we? In literature trope, and it's a creator of anachronism. It's called the sci-fi ghetto. Terry Pratchett will tell you it's the reason he doesn't show up in the bestsellers section, and Kurt Vonnegut wanted to avoid it so he could. Science fiction has long been relegated to this backwater, this ghetto, by critics, vendors, publishers, and the general reading public. If it's sci-fi, the notion goes, it's fluffy, dumb kid stuff. If it's not fluffy, dumb kid stuff, it's really good and engaging and, quote, normal, end quote, people like it. Why, it's not sci-fi at all, then, is it? Even if it clearly is. Kurt Vonnegut took a lot of guff for insisting that he not be lumped into the sci-fi category, despite strong science fiction themes and settings in many of his books. And generally, he did avoid the sci-fi ghetto by doing so. His tacit, if not implicit, siding with the sci-fi snobs meant that he was allowed to retain an air of being a mainstream author. And for him, it paid off both in sales, reaping the benefit of buyers from both the mainstream fiction and sci-fi genre, and in what he perceived as his public standing. Nonetheless, Vonnegut's early and arguably most famous stories often featured what sci-fi readers quickly recognize as genre topics explored not just by Vonnegut, but by authors who did not buck the genre title, even if it meant living life in the, albeit hyperbolic, ghetto. Time travel, alien invasion, space travel, his books contain themes familiar to the readers of Asimov and Clarke and other contemporaries. Indeed, he was nominated for 3 Hugo Awards, a Hugo being arguably sci-fi literature's biggest award. Larry Niven and Jerry Pornell, longtime sci-fi collaborators and notorious jokesters, even stuck Vonnegut's tomb, a black marble monument glorifying his works, in their 1976 Dante's Inferno-inspired novel, Inferno. Having jab at his literary corpus while his physical one was still very much alive, by this time, Vonnegut had been nominated for 2 Hugos and Slaughterhouse-5 had been made into a film, itself winning a Hugo. The monument in the book bears neon signs flashing the phrase, "So it goes," that phrase having been coined and used repeatedly in Slaughterhouse-5. Niven and Pornell take a poke at Vonnegut's denial of living in the ghetto through the main character, also a sci-fi writer, who decries, "Him? Why him? A science fiction writer who lied about not being a science fiction writer because he got more money that way? He wrote whole novels in baby talk with 6th grade drawings in him and 3rd grade science, and he knew better. How does he rate a monument that size?" Strangely, in his essay entitled Science Fiction, Vonnegut claims sci-fi is relegated to other because the people who make it like it that way. In effect saying, "I don't want to be labeled sci-fi because sci-fi is looked down upon and segregated from capital L literature. / sci-fi is looked down upon because sci-fi writers want it to be segregated." I think authors like Terry Pratchett and even Pornell and Niven would disagree, as they'd love to find their books sitting next to the latest spy thriller in the top reads section. Vonnegut held his figurative hands up and said he'd merely noticed technology incorporated it, and that's all it was. Which, in many ways, I can agree and disagree with in principle, alien invasions and time travel notwithstanding. By the way, fans of Douglas Adams should note that he said he'd read Vonnegut's The Sirens of Titans numerous times and was influenced by its writing. So, get on that, Adams completist. And in true sci-fi science style, Vonnegut's last sit-down recorded interview for the media was in 2006 from Within Second Life, the virtual reality world that most of us have likely forgotten about. But John Hockenberry, whom many of you may know from Talk of the Nation and The Takeaway on public radio, interviewed him on The Infinite Mind from within Second Life, the first such virtual event to be held there and simulcast. Unfortunately for us, Kurt Vonnegut is no longer with us to continue to argue about the point, is he sci-fi or isn't he? He died in 2007 at 84, having lived and written a full life and catalog. He left us with many novels and stories, both sci-fi and not, as well as several movies of varying quality adapted from his works, including Slaughterhouse-Five, Mother Night, Breakfast of Champions, Slapstick, and, unbeknownst to most, stories from his Welcome to the Monkey House were adapted into a 1991 Canadian TV anthology series called Monkey House. I kid you not, Frank Langella was in it. It really doesn't matter in the end whether we consider Vonnegut to have lived in the sci-fi ghetto or to have had a skyrise apartment overlooking it on Literature Hill. Or, to quote the man himself, all persons living and dead are purely coincidental. Vonnegut was indeed recognized in his lifetime for the unique voice that he was. And for me, the, sorry Kurt, undeniably sci-fi stories he left us with make him a true sci-fi idol. This has been Sci-Fi Idols with your host Maggie McPhee. You can find us online at sci-fiidols.com. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod.